Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pembrey, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. Hi, Marielle.
Hi, Lou.
We're back.
Yes, we are. And people don't know, but this is our fifth attempt to record.
Yes, that's why I'm sounding a little bit manic as opposed to happy.
Please, internet, let us finish this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my internet or because you're not recording from home.
I don't know.
Maybe a combination of both.
It could just be gremlins.
Or that. I think you jinxed it when you said that you're on holiday, but today it's raining, so it's the perfect day to record a podcast.
Yeah, it wants to wait until it's glorious sunshine and I should be on the beach.
Yes. Yes. How's the holiday?
It is gorgeous. We're in Pembrokeshire, so that's why it's raining today. It always rains in Wales. But I do love it here. It's just so very, very beautiful. And we're lucky because we have had some good weather. And when I look at the forecast, we've got some nice weather ahead of us as well.
Okay, so just a rainy day in between.
Yeah, so that we can do some walking and record a podcast.
Right. And to do some writing, perhaps?
Yes. Well, I've been okay. I've been doing all right with my writing, getting on with it. And we've got friends staying over for the weekend in an extended family. We're allowed to have one extended family if you live in Wales. So the rules are different to in England. So we've got friends coming over to stay and we're forming an extended family with them, which will be fun. And so I probably won't get any writing done then, or very little writing done then. So I've got to make up for it before and after.
Okay. And how are you feeling about that? You feeling?
Yeah, positive. I'm feeling good. Very, very relaxed. Sometimes it takes you some time to decompress when you go on holiday.
I usually don't get to decompress until like the last day.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not the case here. It's just like, it's so quiet and peaceful. And yeah, yesterday we went to the beach and there was only us on this little beach that it is a little bit out of the way. It's just so lovely. Yeah.
I need that in my life right now.
I know. It's the transition back into your normal life, though, that's a little bit of a shock.
Yes.
So I'm not looking forward to that bit, but yeah.
Just be mindful and just enjoy it day by day.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing you can do, isn't it?
Yes.
And then we've got quite a long period for us until we're next on holiday.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not so surprised you're relaxed because you went on holiday like, what, 3 weeks ago?
I was, but the problem is preparing for the holiday, I always find really stressful, as in at work, trying to get everything done so that I can go on holiday without any crises happening is really hard work. Even though we only had 3 weeks in between, I feel like I packed an awful lot of work in there and a lot of stress in there.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
So what about you? How have you been?
Well, I'm writing. Every morning, and I've also been haunted by a new idea for a series, and I know there are authors out there who always get new ideas for new books, and that doesn't happen to me often. And when it does, it usually passes. But this one has been really, really persistent. So I've been doing lots of research, which means reading lots of books in the genre. It's not the genre that I, it's a new genre for me. So, I've been wondering a little bit how to go about that, because of course I also I see it in my clients that often this new idea simply pops up because there is some kind of reason why they don't want to work on their current project. So it's like a distraction.
Yeah, I have it a lot.
Okay, well, so I really wanted to make sure that's not happening. So the deal that I struck with myself is, in the mornings I write on the fantasy, the YA fantasy novel, and if anywhere on that same day I have time and the inspiration to do some research for the other project, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I cannot, like, my morning writing time cannot be for this new project.
Okay.
That's how I've been trying to deal with it.
And how's it going?
That's actually surprisingly well. And it is really fun, and there's no rush for me. I already came up with a pen name, and now I've been doing some research. Yesterday I was doing some character research. It's cozy mystery.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which I really enjoy, but I haven't been reading it in years, so I'm trying to catch up now. So I've been reading tons of novels over the past 2 weeks, just to get back into that kind of mindset. And it's really funny because, like, there's so much variety within the genre. Like, I've been reading books and I'm like, that's not cozy. because it's like a really brutal setting. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is cozy. So it's been really nice doing the kind of research and seeing what other authors are doing. But yeah, I'm not sure, because I do have these moments sometimes, and then usually the project will leave me alone.
Yeah.
Again, and then it disappears. So now I'm just taking notes, and I'm just reading novels, and reading is always good. And as long as I work on the fantasy in the morning, I'm fine. So let's see what this, this is a completely different project that I had not in mind, like a few months ago. It came to me while I was reading another novel. That's usually how I get my ideas, actually.
Yeah, same here.
Other novels inspire me, and I'm like, oh, what if I took this element and did this with it? So I've been reading a cozy mystery series. That's why I thought I remembered how much I enjoy, like, the British detective, like the murder mystery kind of, like, Taggart and stuff like that. I kind of like that. So episodic, it's a series, but it's episodic, because it's like there's one murder to be disentangled and solved in one book.
Yeah, it is a fine line between, and I hadn't thought about it before, between what's cozy mystery and what's not. So I like Elizabeth George. I haven't read her for a number of years.
I don't know that name.
No, it's like a detective one, but I wouldn't have described it as cozy mystery. I would have described it as more thriller crime.
Yes, I'm looking for, because when I think cozy mystery, I think there's like a set of kind of slightly eccentric characters.
Yeah.
And it's like the victim. The victim is never an important character. And there's the death can be very either circumstantial or because of a silly reason or like petty jealousy or something like that. Yeah. Or like, so I have been reading novels over the past few weeks, and I'm like, oh, but this is actually quite dark. So I don't know if it's cozy anymore. Like the character, yeah, sure, the characters are still eccentric, right? But like, yeah, in one of them was the mafia was involved.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, I would not consider that a cozy
mystery. No, like Midsummer Murders is a cozy mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, so for me, it's like I was more thinking of actually cozy, like the murders are really, it's like they happen, they're just people who happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time a lot.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be like a silly reason or a silly way that they were killed.
Yeah.
That's like
Agatha Christie type stuff.
That's kind of, and of course the reasoning is always the same. It's like it's either money or it's love or, and long grudges, right? So people you did not expect, and then you learn that, oh, they've known each other for the past 40 years.
Yes.
Now it's coming out, like stuff like that. So I had, like yesterday I was Googling, can you kill somebody with acupuncture?
you can't, can you?
You can. So I was like, yes, because that's what the novel's going to be. Not the first one.
Well, don't disclose your entire plot.
I'm not.
Good.
I'm not. I'm just glad. I'm really glad you can kill somebody with acupuncture, because I thought that was a funny idea.
It is.
And it does happen, apparently. But in my research, I learned that no deaths have been reported in the UK.
That's no
acupuncture deaths have been recorded in the UK. So I thought you'd be happy.
Too well regulated, hopefully.
Yeah, they do. So this is how I'm going to use it. I won't tell you the plot. I mean, before I publish this, we're going to be 10 years, right? Or 5 years, probably.
not with your new writing schedule, it won't.
I'm still a slow writer. Like, the developing is really slow. But I was thinking only, like, really unexperienced. Like, that's how people die of acupuncture, right? And I thought, unless you're, like, extremely experienced, so you know exactly where not to put the needles. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway.
Yes.
That's not going to be the first book. The first book is going to be about something else. But it's been fun doing research, and I'm like, it's all good. Because I'm still prioritizing my other novels.
Yeah. So you've found a balance, which is really good.
Yes, and I'm going to use my grandmother's last name in my pen name, which I thought was kind of nice.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. So that's what I've been juggling. But I'm just glad after months of not being that inspired.
Yeah.
That suddenly it feel like somebody opened the tap, like the faucet, and it's just flowing out of me.
All comes at once. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really tiring as well, and it's a bit frenzy like.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm glad something's happening.
Well,
it doesn't change my long term goals, of course, if I'm actually going to write this.
Yeah. Well, I had a look at my long term goal. Because I've really only got one, and I thought I probably need to do some work on these goals.
Okay, because that's what we're going to talk about today: long term versus short term writing goals.
Yeah, and we are going to try and keep it to time.
Yes, which is not my forte.
No, and our last podcast was quite long, so.
Yeah, that's just me venting about the cats, probably.
Well, it's part of the podcast, talking about how our lives are going and what we're doing.
Yeah, and sometimes our lives are not going too well.
And sometimes you've got more cats than others.
That is very true. Okay, so you said that... Like you said, like, because I'm looking at my, I haven't looked at my goals, and there's things in here that I'm like, oh, what's I going to do that? That sounds fun. So I wrote all of this down last week of December, and I haven't really looked at it. And I'm actually really surprised by how low key they are.
Ah.
As in, most of them are really realistic. I'm like, so because I'm working on something right now. And now I look that is part of my 2 year goal since December.
Okay.
And in my head, I was like, I need to finish this year. But apparently I'd given myself 2 years for that. So now I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. So tell me about yours, because you said you have one and it's vague.
Well, first of all, can I ask, why is it important to have long-term as well as... I get short-term goals, why it's important to have those, because you need something, you need to be aiming for something and you need to know when you've got there. But what about long-term goals? I'm not really happy with them.
Okay, well, you have 52 weeks of writing. And there's a reason. So when you have a copy of that, you'll know in the first week, or I ask every quarter, but in the first week, there are these pages, and you basically, I start with the question, like, where do you want to be 10 years from now? And it ends on, so where do you want to be in 3 months? And I've had people ask, why do we do it this way? Why don't we do it the other way around? So first that, because if you start with your short-term goals, often once you get to the 5 year, 10 year, you realize, oh, that's really not realistic, right? And so it's much, because like what you said, often our long-term goals are really vague, right?
Yeah.
So if you really want to carve a good path, it's really good to know where you want to end up later. And then you sort of track back and see, okay, if I want to be there in 10 or 20 years, what does that mean for 5 years? Like, if I want to be there let's say I want to have published 10 books in 10 years, right? That's not my goal, but let's say that means in 5 years, you probably need to have published at least a few, or you need to have written a few, right?
Yeah.
So that if you go, and then you go down, so you go, okay, so then in 3 years, okay, maybe that means that I need to have three almost written in 3 years. So for 2 years, it's almost two. And then that means, oh, you need to have finished a book at least this year, or at least like have a really solid draft. And if you then realize, like, if that freaks you out, like, for some people write a book in a month, but for me, I cannot write a book in a year. At least not the series that I've been working on. And that is, of course, those are big books, right? Like, I am assuming they're going to end up around 150,000 words a book. So for some people, that's three books or two books.
Yeah.
So they're heavy books. So if you know that is not realistic, I cannot write a book a year, then you know, oh, wait, I need to look again at my 10-year goal, because I'm not going to write 10 books in 10 years.
Yeah. I think I'm resistant to writing long-term goals or to planning to that extent. And when I think about it, it's like, I think it's something to do with the way that my mother was. She was always, she would never make plans, because she said that there was too many things that threatened plans. Or she'd always say, oh, we're going on holiday if everything's okay. Or, you know, it would always be if, there'd always be an if. So she, in her head, it never happened until it happened.
Yeah, but I don't know, because for me, what's something, and this is why in the journal, every quarter, I ask you to look back at the goals and adjust where necessary.
Yeah,
I think for a lot of people, they think once I put it in writing, it's set in stone.
Yeah.
But of course, it's not, because life does happen. And also your desires change, your priorities change. So I did not, in this plan, there is absolutely no room for me writing a separate series on the repenting. Yeah. There's no room for that. So if I really want to do that, I have to look at my other goals and adjust accordingly. So for me, like, setting those long-term goals is really so I have a path.
Yeah.
And I need those long-term goals because, maybe you function entirely differently, but if I don't know where I'm going, I kind of invite imposter syndrome in.
Right.
Because then I get like the questions, right? Like, okay, so are you sure this is what you want to do? Maybe you should try something else. This is clearly not working. And if I have kind of a plan that I can commit to, it's easy for me to shut up imposter syndrome and just go, you know what, this is on my list. And I'm just going to work on this until you shush.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, so it's never something that I, like I said, like I opened this morning and I was like, apparently within 10 years from now, I want to be an established publishing house with a great team. I do not remember that being a dream, but I wrote it in December.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, oh, this is fun. So that is something that at the time I was clearly flirting with that idea, right? But that doesn't mean I'm not now thinking, oh, I have not started working towards that goal yet. No, like that's not how I feel about it.
So the key is that goals aren't set and you've got to review your goals.
Constantly. Yeah. But I think if you don't set them at all.
Yeah.
It can be really hard to find the discipline. Like if you have something vague, like, oh yeah, I want to finish this novel. And of course, if you're like a hobby writer, that's completely fine, right? Nobody's saying that you need to be professional about your writing, but we want to be professional about our writing. And if like, even I, like I'm quite disciplined and if I want to finish something, I will finish something, but setting deadlines, that does keep me on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gives me, I don't need a big kick because like I said, I'm a very disciplined person to begin with. But I do need the reminder sometimes that, oh yeah, I was going to do that. I better get on that.
Yeah. I think I'm just not, I'm not experienced at goal setting. So it was difficult to come up with something for 10 years because it feels so long away.
It is. Yeah. We're only 9.5 years now.
That's even worse. Thinking about your life speeding by.
Okay, so tell me, like, do you want to share what you wrote down?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've committed to sharing. For better or for worse. Yeah. So my 10-year goal was to be fully retired, which I should be anyway, by the way, from my day job. But I will continue to write and publish and earn the same as I do now, or equivalent in 10 years, as I do from my day job. That's what I wrote.
That's not entirely vague, though.
Oh, is that okay?
Well, I mean, like vague for me would be, I'm a full-time writer by then. But you have written down the amount of money that I want to make needs to be the equivalent, like needs to be somewhere in the same area. And I want to have retired from that job. And while that makes sense, you won't be 65 by then.
No.
What is the legal age? Because in the Netherlands, it's 67. And I don't even know what the retirement age is here because I only know people over 70 who are still working. So
it's 67 in the UK, but that's state. And I'm NHS, so my old pension as well. So because I'm old. So it'll be 60, my official retirement age.
Oh. Okay, so you will be retired anyway.
Yeah, I will be retired, and that's fine. I want to be by the time I'm 60.
Yeah.
I don't want to give up the writing. That I don't ever see giving up the writing and publishing.
No, I mean, as long as your brain functions and you can type, right? Or pay somebody to type it for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be that bad at 60.
No, talking about later, like 93.
Okay, yeah, okay.
When you're so famous and you have this nice little cabin in Cornwall or something.
Yeah.
You have this sort of like assistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comes down and just, you know, takes your, takes everything you've said into your like little voice recorder. We don't have voice recorders anymore in like whatever you use, Audacity or the Dragon or whatever.
And then I do have a voice recorder, a dictaphone.
I do too. Like, I think it's in the Netherlands from my days as a not a journalist. That's not the right word. I used to work for a feminist magazine, so I had to do interviews and stuff.
That's a journalist.
Yeah, but I think we were called editors.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I have it from that period. So I don't think it's too vague, Lou. So what's your 5-year goal then?
Well, this is it. I'm not sure that my other goals will enable me to achieve my 10-year goals. But so in 5 years, I want to work less hours in my day job. I'm not sure that's true. Because that'll have an effect on my pension. And I'm just not sure that I do want to work less hours. Not in my current job, anyway. But that's me now reviewing that goal.
Yeah.
So that I'm writing more, though. I've written at least one non-fiction book. Yeah. I forgot about that. At some point, I do want to write a non-fiction book, but I don't know what subject matter. So that was it. That's what I mean. I'm not sure that that's going to enable me to achieve my 10-year goal.
Yeah, because by that time you should. So what I would have done, because I don't have numbers in here, but if I had numbers in there, I would be like, I would have done. So you know what you make per month, right? Yeah. So I would have taken that number, see if you can find what other authors are earning. See how much books they have, how many books they have. And kind of try like to deduce from that what you would be needing. Right. That's how I would have tackled it. Or even if it's just like in my mind, right? Like, okay, so let's say if I have 5 books out, because there's so many people sharing their income on Facebook now, like showing like, okay, so I have 5 books now. I started 4 years ago. This is what I'm making now. Right. So I would just try and find out what other people in my field are doing.
Yeah. And how many books I need to write.
Yes.
Because even if I just write them, don't promote them, when I retire, I could start promoting them, couldn't I?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, if you have a backlist, that's what they say, right? The best marketing is the next book.
Yeah.
So part of the marketing will do itself at some point. Although, I mean, marketing a book is really, really hard. Getting really visible.
Oh, let me just tell you something. It is a little bit of a side note, this, but I saw it yesterday on daytime TV, which Marcus put on for some reason. I can't remember why. And it just happened to be on a woman who had sold loads and loads of books because she used TikTok book marketing and had her husband basically sat there with a narrative saying that he'd killed his ex-partner or something. And it was like a little narrative. And based on that, she sold loads and loads of books. Although there were people, she said, that thought her husband actually did kill someone. They weren't sure whether it was real or not. And so it went viral and she sold loads of books.
Okay, so maybe for you, you're just thinking, right? Like, so how? What kind of goals can you add? So I don't know whether you want to have that as a 5-year goal, maybe a 3-year goal, but maybe at one point you should have as a goal to have like a VA to do your marketing for you. Somebody who does your social media.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit of a cop out, but yeah.
Why is that a cop out?
Well, just I just think it's something. It's not something that I couldn't aim for, but I think I definitely need to experience marketing in order to be skilled at it, in order to sell books. Do you know what I mean? Before, so I could have someone else do it, but I kind of feel without that knowledge, myself, then it's a bit like cheating.
But nobody's sad that you hire a VA and they just do their thing. You can hire a VA to teach you and do it together.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that.
Because I'm the same, right? Like, I remember when I first, my first company website, so now we're talking 2014, just started out as an editor. A friend of mine put it together and it looked really nice. But my friend is a bit of a control freak. Hi, sweetheart, if you're listening. She's probably not. She just gave birth, so she might not.
No, maybe not.
Might not be listening. Yeah. Gorgeous little boy, by the way. Oh, Killian. He's beautiful. And so she made my website, and she was really like, I'm just going to use this program because I know it really well, but I never understood how it worked. So afterwards, because I know her from university, like we have these periods that we really close and talk a lot, and then we drift apart for a bit, and then we get back to, like, that's kind of how our cycle is. So at one point, I realized, like, if I really want to become an editor, right, or like actually live of editing, I need to market it more. So I need a better website, because I was still working. Sorry, I was still working at the university at the time, right? So depending on how many hours I had, that didn't have priority in my life. So at one point I was like, I need a new website and I need to have control over it, but I cannot build a website. So I got another friend, and we went on this 11-hour Skype call. And she basically built the website in front of me so that I know where everything was.
Oh, that's, I like that idea.
So I had a VA who did things for me and didn't want to share how she did them.
Yeah.
Right. And I now think that was a control thing, because I did ask, like, okay, so where did you create this image? Like, oh, no, that's all like I've got that. Yeah. You don't need to worry about that. And I'm like, yeah, but I do want to worry about that, because what if something happens? Like, and it did, like, she, out of the blue, she just stopped, like, she left my company.
Yeah.
And I've never heard from her again. So at the beginning I was like, shit, now I don't know how everything works. Like, I didn't know how my newsletter worked. I didn't know how, like, I didn't know how Canva worked for graphics.
Yeah.
So I swore to myself, I'm never, ever, ever hiring anybody again without knowing at least to a certain extent what they do. Not because I'm that much of a control freak, but just in case something happens, they could fall ill when I have a deadline. It would be really nice if I could pick up the pieces when something happens. So that's my point. It's like, you can say, I want help with that. Like, I don't need somebody to take over, but I definitely want to hire somebody at some point who shows me the ropes and sets up, like, a good Instagram and just, you know, get me started.
Well, I'm glad you told me about that, because I hadn't considered it. I hadn't considered someone doing it with me or showing me. I just thought that you handed it over. So, yeah, that's a good idea.
I think that depends on the person you hire.
Yeah, yeah. So with the goal setting, I need to look at each, what I need to do to achieve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's really simple, and I was thinking along those lines, but I hadn't really committed.
No, but there's so many things you can do, right? Like, so you know, like the most important thing is you need to finish those books. So that needs to be, and so you need to know, okay, by that time that book is finished, by that time that book is finished. So for me, example, like the pace I'm going, apparently I've said publish my first YA fantasy novel within the next 2 years. Because the pace I am going, even that's going to be tricky because I'm so slow with it. And part of the reason I'm kind of assuming the second novel is going to be faster because I plotted that one.
Yeah.
With this one, I'm just like trying to figure out what's going on there. Well, most people would have just thrown it out and started over, and I did not do that. So for me, like, in one of my 10-year goals is to publish the next trilogy in the world. So in that world, I do not I only expect myself to have written 6 books in a 10-year span.
Right. Okay.
So I think that is much more realistic for me because I know I'm not that fast a writer.
But that's only your non-fiction, isn't it? That's only
This is only my YA fantasy fiction.
Yeah.
So, of course, if I am doing the cozy mystery, and I think that's a mystery at the time, whether I'm actually going to do it, that will have make something will have to shift. Because I might alternate like you do with your books versus the books you write with Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably have to think about that. But yeah, I do have plans. But so my 10-year goal for my nonfiction is really vague.
Mm.
It's keep writing books on spirituality and creativity and writing.
Yeah.
So that's just, I still want to be doing that in 10 years.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So the only concrete stuff I have is that I want all of those books by then to be translated in French, German, and Spanish.
Yeah.
So that is, that is much vaguer. The just want to keep writing in that arena. So I don't think you're doing too bad.
No, but it's just breaking it down, isn't it?
Yes, and also considering what's I think this is why I like the long-term goals, because saying in 5 years time I want to be a full-time author. Okay, great. But what does that mean? How many books does that mean?
Yeah.
How much time does that mean in terms of marketing? How much money do you need together for your different kinds of editing? Maybe for the audiobooks, your covers, your marketing, your Amazon ads, your Facebook ads, all of that. Because writing the books is one thing, and that's already quite a task. But even if you can write 10 books a year, do you have the money to get them? Do you have the money for 10 covers? Do you have the money for 10 editors? Not 10 editors, but for 10 rounds of editing. Like,
hopefully so, not 10 editors.
No. That's hope. But like you do need editors for each book. You might want to have your own ISBNs, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's what do you need to know, isn't it, as well, in terms of the writing I'm fine with. But then there's the marketing, which I'm not fine with. There's the whole other side, which I try and avoid currently. So it's what do you need to know?
Yes, well. And I think real like the whole is this realistic or not comes when you have all those numbers.
Yeah.
Like if you cannot afford to have one book edited now, you can have maybe your goal can be, I want to have 2 books written by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But then maybe your goal for the next 2 years is going to be, okay, find a side job.
Yeah.
To actually get, like we talked about Jamie Albright 2 weeks ago, and I think she got, she paid for professional editing by donating plasma.
Right.
So she was like, I need to, like, so yes, yeah, so people have done crazy things. Like, I'm just, you know, I have a job, but I'm gonna deliver pizzas for a while in the evening because I know I need, let's say, £500.
Yeah.
To get the book edited. Yeah. So having all those numbers can actually be real. Or I need like a cover, and the cover artist that I want will charge me 199 euros for this particular cover.
Yeah.
So where am I going to get the money? So that's why I like the long-term goals, because that you really need to break down how realistic is this when I take everything in consideration.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not set in stone. In 10 years is a long time. Like, really great things can happen, really bad things can happen, really sad things can happen, and that might derail anything, but that's okay. Yeah. Nobody's saying you're a failure if 10 years from now you haven't done like the bullet points that you've written down 10 years before.
No, because it's just a tool, isn't it?
Yes, it's just a guidance, right? It's like, that's for me, that's the only way I see goal setting, as to keep you to a path. And then every now and again, so for me, that's like every 3 to 6 months, I sit down and reflect, am I still going where I want to be going?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the important bit. And if you see that certain things, so one big shift for me is that I see in my goals, I wasn't planning on buying ISBNs because I didn't have the money. And then I did get some money, so I decided to buy them. So I realized when I look at my goals, oh, wait, like my two-year plan, one of my two-year plans to have all my paperbacks white. But now I'm working towards where the ones that I have out now could all go white this year. And that's not me stressing over a goal. No, it's because other things that I had planned for this year slowed down for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
So I basically swapped it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I got that opportunity. So it's also about, okay, so this is now happening. What am I going to do? How can I switch this? And what has priority? And also your preferences shift, right? As you learn things. Like when I was creating this, I had no idea that my writing journals would sell so well, like from October all the way until January, right? I sold crazy amounts of them, right? So now I'm like, I need to get those books white. It's a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're much more popular than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
So that shit, like, as you learn things about yourself, but also about your books and how well they're doing, like, you might have a whole series planned. But what if you realize that after you've written the first three, nobody wants to read them? Of course, if you still want to write them, you should definitely still write them, right? But if you're at that point, are like, yeah, I'm not sure whether I'm still in love with this series, knowing that might, you know, change the way you see the future.
Yeah, and if you need to make money, obviously, or you're relying on the money that your books bring in, then it isn't, even if you want to write them, it's probably not a sensible use of your time.
No, and for me, that's always, so I started doing this, and this is how it ended up in this journal. I started doing the whole backtracking after reading Joanna Penn's The Successful Author Mindset, I think it was.
Yeah.
And but she actually asks, where do you see yourself like at the end of your life? Like, why are you what's your why? Why, what are you doing it for? And my long-term why is I want to leave a legacy of books that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
So in that, I made the choice to never write books because they need to make money.
Yeah.
So that is never going to be an issue for me, I hope, unless, like, you don't know. Like, maybe at one point I do need to choose, am I going to sell plasma or am I going to write this book that I don't want to write, but I know it's going to make me money. I don't know what I'm going to, probably going to write the book, because blood and I are not friends.
You can't really sell plasma in our country, so it's not an option.
Well, this was the US. I don't even know what they do here, right? Maybe I can sell a kidney or something. although I kind of like my kidneys. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my point. Right? I don't know, but my very long-term goal. So once I realized that, like I've had the debate between like, am I going to put energy towards writing books fully to market just to make money so that I can be a full-time author sooner? Or am I going to do it differently? And once I realized that, like in the really long term, like, you know, when I'm like on my deathbed and I'm dying, what kind of career do I want to look back on? I realized that's the kind of career, like I want to be proud of every single book that I put out.
It's not just that, is it? For me, it just feels a little bit soul destroying just to write books to market, you know. So you might as well just write copy or just do editing, you know. If it's just to make money, there are lots of ways just to make money that are probably more efficient than trying to write books to market.
Yes, because I'm like, I have trouble marketing the books that I love.
Yeah, exactly.
To market the book that you're not really behind. And this is the thing. It's not that I don't believe in writing to market, but I very much believe in first figuring out what you like to write and then see what that market wants and then making sure you hit all those readers' expectations, the tropes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think there's a whole episode on that. We could do a whole podcast on that issue alone.
Yeah. I once wrote an article, a guest post on somebody's blog about, it's not about that specifically. But yeah, I think if you sit with your goals for the long term, for me, having that really long-term goal, that really, it kind of cut away all the things that I knew I wouldn't do or I wasn't okay with doing. And that made it much easier to figure out, okay, so what is my long-term plan?
Yeah. So are you happy with your long-term plan?
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if I had an established publishing house in 10 years?
Oh, God, yes.
Apparently in 5 years, I'm going to have staff.
Oh, scary.
And as a celebration, we're going to do team building here on the island.
Oh, wow. I'll come to that.
You want to be on my staff?
Yeah, why not?
Can you do my social media for me?
No.
But yeah, so in 3 years, I'm going to set up my own imprint and publish other people's books, apparently.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
It's cool, right? So those, I do have, and that's another thing. I also, for the long-term thing, right? There's also some dreams in here. Like that is a dream, right?
Yeah.
So other stuff like have my gratitude, like in 3 years, I also want to have my gratitude journal out in a few more languages. That's all doable, right?
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. I can work.
Doable and wise.
Yes. But I think the other thing is really like that. Wouldn't that be amazing to have like an international team and like a publishing? That would be amazing. I forgot that I was dreaming about that.
Oh. I got a 5-star review in Japan, but I can't read it.
Oh, me too, but it was written in English, luckily.
Oh.
I did get a really long 1-star review in Spanish, and I was like, yeah, I don't need to Google Translate that. I'm cool.
Yeah, no need.
There's no need.
Although the 1-star reviews are usually funny.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, yeah. But that doesn't mean I'll go like I had a 5-star review in German, and that one, of course, I put through Google Translate.
Yeah, it's because we're
I don't mind going the extra mile
to see what someone's got to say.
Yes, yeah. So you should definitely try Google Translate if you want. I don't know how solid it is for Japanese, but
I don't. Anyway, it was just funny. Yeah.
So does that make you feel better about long-term goals?
Yes. And it's something that I'm aware that I don't use effectively. And even I did write it, I did do them, but I knew as I was doing them that I hadn't really fully embraced the process.
So I'm going to ask, this is going to be a nasty question. So did you do the quarterly one, the check-in?
No. No, I was much better with the short-term goals, and those I failed spectacularly on.
But I do think that if you get a clear grip, and this is, again, this is why I go from long-term to short-term, because that way you see. So if you have trouble setting realistic goals on the short-term, right?
Yeah.
Like my aside from the whole publishing house thing, because I wouldn't know how to go about that, right? All of my other goals are quite reasonable. But that's only because I'm like, in 10 years, this is where I want to be. And if I break that down, I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, just looking at this right now, I'm realizing, oh, I'm working on goals that are in my 2-year plan. So maybe I can cut myself some slack.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm also very, the first time I did this, the whole going from 10 years to like 3 months, I was not as realistic. So it's also a process. Because I'm pretty sure by that time, I thought I was going to write those big fantasy novels like 2 a year.
Yeah.
And I know by now that's not really my thing. So the first time I did this, it was not realistic at all. But this is why you keep reflecting. So you become better at it.
You see, I think that we're running out of time, but I'm wondering whether we should do, you know, the next episode, whether we should do it more on the short-term goals. So we've talked a lot today about long-term, but I'm wondering whether we should split this podcast into two and next time talk about the short-term ones.
Yeah, we could do that.
It would also give me a chance to have a look and redevelop my goals as well, based on what I've learned.
Yeah, we can do that, because I think, I think we can have a lot. I think we both have a lot to say about, like, even like weekly goals.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do that. Let's just do a separate one on that. And I would love to hear next time we talk whether you actually rewrote. I mean, the 6 month is almost coming up, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It will be nice to hear if you've got a bit more control, or a bit not a control, but like a sense of the different steps you're going to take over the next season.
Well, I want to look at them all and see if I can redevelop them.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear from you how you've get on. And by that time, I might know whether I need to put in that cozy mystery series.
Yay.
It depends on how. I don't know how I'm going to do that. But hey. And I really actually do. Maybe this is the question we should be asking, the one that Joanna Penn asks in her book, like at the end of your career, what do you want to look back on? Because I think that definitely influenced my long-term goal setting.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, so we'll do that for a question.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.